Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. In fact, today is a little bit of a milestone for us broadcast-wise because with the upload of our sermon this past week, of the sermon that I preached at the church that I pastor here in South Carolina, outside of Greenville in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. With the upload of that sermon, which dealt with the Facing Jericho by Faith, we now have 1,000 broadcasts/sermons that are uploaded out on our site at sermonaudio.com. So there's 1,000 free downloads out there that you can avail yourself of that are available on our website. That's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. Today's broadcast, we're going to look at this subject between the idea of grace and effort. In a recent Christian Post article, this one came out on June 6th, so it was just a couple days ago, and it said this, it said, Tullian Trevijan clarifies why he apologized following the Gospel Coalition row. And it goes on to say this, Tullian Trevijan clarified on Thursday that he was neither backing away from his theological position nor recanting his critical remarks on Sovereign Grace Ministries' sex abuse scandal when he released an apology last week. His apology came after, quote, getting a week of reflection under my belt and thinking long and hard about not any of the issues regarding Sovereign Grace or any theological disagreements that I had with the Gospel Coalition or anything like that, unquote, the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church pastor told Janet Mefford on a radio show, quote, this has more to do literally with God, the Holy Spirit, convicting me regarding the tone in some of the things that I've said in private and things that I've said in public, not backing away from at all from my theological position or in any way what I felt about the whole Sovereign Grace issue at all, unquote. Now, on the broadcast today, he mentions two things in this article. He mentions the Sovereign Grace issue and his theological disagreements with the Gospel Coalition. For today, just forget about the Sovereign Grace issue. We've talked about that, and I'll talk about it some more. It's an important subject, but it's not the subject of the broadcast today. The subject of the broadcast today deals with the theological disagreements that he's talking about. And in the article, he kind of juxtaposed himself to the Gospel Coalition. I don't know if that's an accurate setup of this discussion, because personally, I feel that many in the Gospel Coalition actually gave credence to much of what Tullian was teaching on the subject of grace or sanctification or whatever category we're going to put this in. I think that many of them were promoted authors and published, you know, were very much supportive of what he was saying. There was a few, like Kevin DeYoung, who came out and criticized it and gave a tone, about a corrective tone in his comments. But other than that, I didn't think that they were that much on the opposite spectrum from what he was saying. So with all that said, today we want to talk about those theological points that he's alluding to in that apology that he spoke about in that article. And here to help us do that is Brian Hedges. Brian Hedges has written a book called Active Spirituality, and the subtitle is Grace and Effort in the Christian Life. Now, Brian's been on the program with me before to talk about a couple of other books that he has written, but he's the pastor at Fulkerson's Baptist Church in Niles, Michigan. And he was on the program to speak with me before about Christ Formed in You, which is one of the books that he wrote through Shepherd Press. And then also he wrote a book called License to Kill, and that one was published through Cruciform Press. Both of those times Brian's been on the broadcast to talk about this issue. This one is published by Shepherd Press. You can go out to their website at www.shepherdpress.com in order to find out more about this particular book. Brian, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Great to be back with you again.
Well, Brian, interesting subject for those, especially I think within the Reformed wing of the broader evangelicalism. There's been a lot of interest in this subject. There's been a lot said back and forth. I think there are now some competing conferences that take place from the two different groups that are talking about this issue. Why don't you lay it out like you do in the opening part of your book, in the introduction to your book? What's at stake here and what's going on? And then we'll talk about how your book addresses that.
Yeah, well, the doctrine of sanctification, as you know, is one of the most important things that we can strive to get clarity about as Christians. And there has been a lot of debate about it here recently. And, you know, I'm reminded of what Martin Luther one time reportedly said. He said the church is kind of like a drunken peasant trying to get on a horse. He climbs onto one side and then he falls off the other. You help him get back on and he falls off the other. And it seems like as Christians, we do tend to move along the spectrum when we're talking about grace-oriented sanctification on one hand, or then the necessity of discipline and effort on our part on the other. And sometimes we're going back and forth, and it seems like the debate currently is between people oriented more to one side or the other. So, yeah, that's the issue at stake, and it's important because we want to be faithful to Scripture, and especially because this has such practical consequences in the Christian life. What do we expect? And how are we engaged, and how are we thinking? Are we thinking rightly about God's grace and about God's requirements of us?
Mm-hmm. We should note that these things a lot of times don't happen in a vacuum, you know, that there's a context, a cultural context, and even the cultural context within the church in which this is taking place. And I think it's worth noting that this is nothing new, the discussion about sanctification. We had other discussions about this throughout church history. I'm thinking a little bit of the Keswick movement, which the saying that came out of the Keswick movement was just let go and let God, that there should be no striving at all in our sanctification, that we should just be resting, not running, you know, in our, you know, striving for holiness and so forth. So that was certainly another movement that took place in the church. And this one today that's taking place seems to be coming on the heels of the age of fundamentalism, when fundamentalism was so big for the last few decades, and really did a great work of standing up against liberalism. But fundamentalism then kind of became something else, and it kind of became noted for rules and regulations. And this movement now seems, this grace movement seems to be coming on the heels of that. You think that's a proper interpretation?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, we're all creatures of reaction, aren't we? And so I think people, especially who grew up thinking of the Christian life mainly in terms of do's and don'ts, are really allergic to anything that sounds like legalism. And so there certainly is much more emphasis on grace. And, of course, the emphasis on grace itself is good. We just want to be sure that we're putting it together with everything that Scripture says in a balanced way.
Mm-hmm. There's a theme when you say the emphasis on grace is good. You know, it seems almost bizarre or just strange that we would be questioning any sort of discussion about grace at all, you know, and the over-mentioning of it or the improper mentioning of it. But what we're discussing is that there seems to be some confusion between when grace is spoken about in justification versus as grace being discussed in sanctification. Talk a little bit about that issue, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, justifying grace, I don't think there's any question about this or any disagreement about this within the Reformed movement, that we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and our works do not play any role at all in our righteous status before God. That's solely through the grace of God. But when it comes to sanctification, the question is, how then does grace work in our lives, and what role does our effort play? And that seems to be where there's some debate. And, you know, I think it's a complicated issue. It's not something that we can just, you know, we can quickly draw sides, I think. You know, we can draw lines in the sand and take a side maybe more quickly than we should. We've got to pay attention to everything that Scripture says. And Scripture certainly calls us to rest in Christ and His finished work on one hand. But Scripture also uses very strong, active metaphors and images for the Christian life. Christian life is called a journey, right? So we're called to walk, or it's described in terms of a battle, and we're called to fight, the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. Or the Christian life is described in terms of a race, in order to run with endurance the race that's before us. So we've got to put all of these pictures together, I think, for us to get balance. And, you know, one passage that comes to mind for me when we think about grace in relationship to sanctification is Paul's words to Titus in Titus chapter 2, where he tells us that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. But then he says, this grace trains us to renounce certain things, to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So I think that's what we want to lay hold of, is that this grace of God that is given to us freely is a grace that brings a discipline with it.
Mm-hmm.
So sanctification by grace doesn't mean the absence of efforts or discipline on our part. The question is, how do we put those things together?
Yeah, exactly. There's where the real rub is. Where I got involved in this discussion, I had Tully on the program before. I really appreciate, you know, a lot of the things that he does and says. There's no doubt about it. But where I got involved in this is when I started to see verses like a couple of verses there that you quoted as being interpreted differently than they had historically been interpreted. For instance, you talked about from Timothy there about they fight the good fight of faith. I started to see some blog posts where they were saying that fighting the good fight of faith was, the fight was not slipping back into effort and any sort of effort into the Christian life. The fight was to maintain your focus on grace and not to buy into the logic of now that you needed to show exertion or diligence in the Christian life. And so there's where the fight was. So now I'm looking at some of these verses and seeing what's going on, and I'm like, man, you're reinterpreting these verses. That's not what it meant in the context there. And there's where I started to say, I think we got a big problem here with how far this is being, we're taking this. Now, in your book, you zero in on the theological truth of the perseverance of the saints. So we got the preservation of God on one hand, that the Lord is doing the work, has done the work in us, brought us to salvation, has started this work in us, is working in us on the foundation of grace and the merits of Christ and so forth in our sanctification life. But then the flip side of that is not just the preservation of God, but the perseverance of the saints themselves. Talk about that issue and how that relates to this subject.
Yeah, well, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints teaches that true believers cannot lose their salvation, but not only that, that they will also persevere in faith to the end and be saved. So it's a little bit more than the doctrine of eternal security. The doctrine of eternal security, of course, is that once a person is saved, they never can lose their salvation. And I believe that, of course, with all my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But the classic doctrine of perseverance says a little bit more than that. It says that that not only will the true believer not be lost, but that they will continue in the faith. And Scripture uses language all the time, exhorting us to certain kinds of efforts and certain kinds of practices and certain kinds of disciplines. And I don't think this is in any way a denial of grace. I think it's rather showing us how God's grace works. So to quote Paul again, Philippians chapter 2, he tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So I think that's the balance, is that there is something that we must do, but we can only do it as we are empowered by God's grace. But we should never take God's grace as something like a get-out-of-jail-free card or a license to sin. Not that I think the proponents in one side of this movement are necessarily trying to do that, but I think that's the danger that we've got to be on guard against.
Mm-hmm. I had an author on that subscribed to, the current way that grace is being spoken about, of which I read about Tully, and I see Tully as kind of the champion of this today. But she subscribed to, the entire teaching there about the way that grace is spoken about through Tully and others. And when I brought up to her the confession statement, the Westminster Confession of Faith statement about the perseverance of the saints, and where it talks about that the believers can fall into very grievous sins and so forth and still be saved. But then I also brought up that the Scripture says that they would the confession says that they would incur the displeasure of God, grieving the Holy Spirit and so forth. She refused to acknowledge that God could be displeased with what we were doing. That, seemed to just, had a very, was allergic to that term, and didn't want to use the idea that we could incur God's displeasure, because it speaks against, the thinking in that doctrine. What you quote from the 1689, which is very similar in its language. So the believer can actually grieve the Holy Spirit, right, and displease God.
Well, of course we can grieve the Holy Spirit, because Paul warns us not to do that in Ephesians 4, verse 30. I think on the question of displeasing God, I think it depends on what we mean by that. So can a justified believer ever lose their full acceptance with God that they have in Christ?
No.
And I think the answer to that is no. But the old confessions talk about incurring the fatherly displeasure of God. And I think that is certainly true. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that the Father disciplines every son whom he receives. And there are also passages in Scripture that exhort us to live a life that pleases God. Mm. And so I think there is a sense in which we can be more or less pleasing to God in our relationship to him in terms of our sanctification, that in no way compromises the completeness of our justification or the certainty of our adoption into the family of God. So my guess is that when people are reluctant to use that language, they're thinking of it in terms of justification. So I just think we've got to make the distinctions there.
Mm-hmm.
We can never lose the pleasure, God's pleasure in us, that he has because of Christ, because we're justified. That is completely secure.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly can grieve the Holy Spirit, and we can bring God's discipline in our lives through sin. So
mm-hmm.
I think Scripture's clear about that.
And we're talking about a difference between our position and our actual practice, our Christian walk. Let me remind our listeners, we're speaking with Brian Hedges. The book is called Active Spirituality, Grace and Effort in the Christian Life. And you can get a copy of it out on shepherdpress.com. That's www.shepherdpress.com. Brian, then in the introduction to your book, you then, after dealing with a number of those subjects that we just discussed, you said there's a need for active spirituality. Explain to us what that is.
Well, I'm just using that phrase, active spirituality, as a kind of a catch-all phrase for all of the active language that Scripture uses to describe the Christian life. So we are called, as I said before, we're called to walk, we're called to run, we're called to fight, we're called to endure, we're called to hold fast to our profession. And it seems to me that Scripture's using very active imagery here. It's using metaphors that emphasize the need for continuance, the need for perseverance, the need for efforts, the need for discipline. And so by active spirituality, I just mean a spirituality that's intentional and that is disciplined and in which we expend efforts even as we depend on God's grace.
Mm-hmm. And none of those things mean that you're a legalist. If you do that, it means that you believe the scriptures, because that's the way the scriptures speak about that subject. Brian, your book then deals with, or it presents this subject in a rather unique way. It's a series of letters. Tell our listening audience about the format.
Yeah, I have appreciated some of the great letters that come down to us in Christian history and some of the great works of literature that are written in a letter format. I think, for example, of C.S. Lewis, wrote the Screwtape Letters and also a book called Letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer. And while, of course, I wouldn't agree with everything that Lewis wrote or believed, his work in literature, I think, was very valuable. And so I was inspired somewhat by Lewis's example and some of the other great letter writers in history, and decided to write this book as a series of pastoral letters. So they're written to a fictional character, Chris, which is really just short for Christian, but they're written as a series of letters that are encouraging this young Christian to walk with Jesus and are trying to teach them things along the way. So I'm discussing in these letters things like the doctrine of perseverance and assurance of salvation and how does grace work in the Christian's life, and the need for a plan for spiritual growth, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Is Chris a fictitious character, or have you, you just mentioned that it stands for Christian, but have you also had these types of discussions with actual individuals as well?
Well, sure. In pastoral ministry, you know, we have all kinds of interactions with believers in our own congregations, and sometimes with people from afar as well. So, yeah, I've had lots of these discussions with people over the years about either assurance or about spiritual growth or the doctrine of justification or perseverance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The letters themselves are fictitious in that they're written to a fictitious character. But they're based on the kinds of conversations, and in some cases, some of the content of the letters was based on sermons or, you know, other places where I've worked out that material before.
Mm-hmm. Is it written as kind of a corrective to what were the dialogue that's taking place today? Is it written maybe as just helping to people to think through the issues that are being discussed today related to grace and effort, or grace and diligence in the Christian life? Is that your goal?
Well, honestly, the book, I started working on the book several years ago. So before this current sanctification debate was really in the media as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually know Tullian, and he endorsed one of my earlier books. And I think Tullian is a great guy. And, you know, he's denied the charges of antinomianism.
Right.
I'm not comfortable with every single thing that he says, but I'm not quite ready to, you know, say that he's unorthodox either. But honestly, I haven't read everything that Tullian has written, so I wasn't interacting directly with him. But I was concerned just about keeping this balance between grace and effort. And it seems like that's something that Christians historically have had a hard time doing. And honestly, even in my personal life, sometimes I have a hard time keeping that balance. So I wrote this as much for me, and in thinking through these metaphors in Scripture and trying to put together in as clear a way as I could, how does God's grace intersect with my effort? What is my role and responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I live a disciplined Christian life without being a legalist? Mm-hmm. So that was really the concern, more than directly answering any particular person.
Yeah, I think that in the debate, you know, one side, one camp is throwing around the word legalism every time somebody mentions the idea of any sort of diligence in the Christian life, and the other camp throws around the word antinomianism as soon as there's any sort of emphasis on grace. And I'm not so sure that those are being used legitimately either. I think that what's happening is there's a lot of sloppy statements being made. And as we know in theology, sloppiness is not a good thing. And so I think that there needs to be a lot of clarity being given to this. There's a call right now for a debate to be had by the different camps. I think that would be helpful to sit down and let's spell this out and let's be very clear as to what we mean by these things. And I think your book is going to help along that line as well. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about the subject. I pray that the Lord would mightily use your book.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate you having me again.
All right. Brian Hedges was our guest just now, and his book is called Active Spirituality. And you can get a copy of that. The tagline or the subtitle is Grace and Effort in the Christian Life. You can get a copy of that out on Shepherd Press's website. Their website is www.shepherdpress.com. That's www.shepherdpress.com. Go out there and just type in Active Spirituality. In fact, I saw it right there on the home page, and so you should be able to get to it relatively easily.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.